Are you ready for the Midwest Horse Fair? Blaine's Farm and Fleet sure is. Visit their booths at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, Wisconsin this year, April 19th to the 21st. They'll have exclusive discounts, prize giveaways, and more. See farmandfleet.com for details.
Rough hands, dirty boots, and farming roots. It's all we know. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
And welcome to the first full day of spring and National Agriculture Day. I'm Pam Youngke. Thanks for stepping in. Yeah, muddy boots definitely a part of our weather forecast for Wisconsin this week. Today, about a 30% chance of rain under cloudy skies will bounce up to 50 degrees. Tomorrow, the same thing, 30% chance of rain, 52. Thursday, we've got a 50% chance of rain and 44. Friday, partly cloudy skies, 45 degrees. Stumacher, ag meteorologist, has weather details coming up. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, is joining us, and we'll focus in on what the Black Hawk Technical College is doing today to celebrate National Agriculture Day. Those are just a few of the items coming your way.
My name is Cameron Olson, owner of Olson Solar Energy.
This is the direction that the world is going. I know our customers really have to look at the bottom dollar. This needs to financially make sense, but this is one of those rare things that really, it's not just nice for your wallet, but it's also nice for the planet and for the earth. And it's pretty fun to be part of it.
Go to OlsonSolarEnergy.com and start saving. Go green, save green with Olson Solar Energy.
If you own livestock, if you've got poultry, you have to be on guard every day. Something always trying to infect your herd, infect your flock. I'm Pam Youngke from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. You know, just recently, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture reminding poultry owners to make sure their biosecurity plan is in play so that they can fight against avian influenza. Of course, Brazil just announcing recently they had two positive cases of BSE, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, in their cattle herd. That cost them international markets immediately. And of course, then there's our pork producers continuing to try to protect themselves and our borders against African swine fever. I talked about that with Dr. Pam Zabel. She's a veterinarian. She's also director of the Swine Health Production Team for the National Pork Producers Council. And she said recently they got a big scare when African swine fever landed not too far from the United States.
As we've watched African swine fever march across Eastern Europe and then in 2018 infect China and watch how it spread throughout Asia, now we have it knocking on our door on the island of Hispaniola in the Dominican Republic and Haiti. We're very concerned about it making its way to the United States, but we've also always been concerned about classical swine fever too. So foot and mouth disease, classical swine fever, and African swine fever are three of the bigger diseases that we really worry about because they're all trade limiting diseases. They would all affect our exports if they ever infected animals in the United States.
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about how quickly African swine fever moves. I guess for a lot of people, they shouldn't be surprised. These organisms, these traits, they can move pretty fast. What do we know about how fast African swine fever has been able to clip across the globe?
We know that African swine fever is one of the hardier viruses, and that's part of the problem, is that it can live in different meat products for a period of time and then be infectious to animals. It's not a public health or human concern as far as people go, but we worry about infecting animals. And people are the main reason that it spreads. We carry it when people travel. Sometimes there's folks that travel internationally that take products that well-intended, maybe they want to share with friends or family, that sort of thing, but it's a danger to animal agriculture. And so we have a lot of great folks, especially in like customs and border protection and so on, that help protect animal agriculture in the United States.
Let's talk about that a little more. I don't know that people necessarily connect an on-farm biosecurity threat with LaGuardia or Miami or Customs and Border Patrol, but you said in many regards African swine fever might have literally been on our borders already.
So when we think of prevention of African swine fever, of infecting that first animal in the United States, we have the opportunity to stop it from coming into the country, from coming onto the farm, and coming into the animal areas. So we have different areas that we can use risk mitigation to stop the virus from entering. And what our first level of protection, again, is the Customs and Border Protection. And those Beagle teams are so valuable to the industry to help signal some of those meat products and other other products that are there to help protect agriculture too, other agricultural entities. But they help, you know, pick up those in the passenger luggage mm-hmm. going through the airports. And mm-hmm. and that's a huge plus for the industry. Yeah. And the quote that it could have already been at our borders came from someone within Customs and Border Protection. For products that are confiscated in the airports, they are incinerated and destroyed. So they are no longer a threat to U.S. agriculture. In some countries, they test those products for diseases, and they have found in some other countries that items that have been confiscated in those countries that they've tested have tested positive for foot and mouth disease and African swine fever. So we know it can be carried through those items that people are bringing in their luggage with them when they travel.
Now, we talk, so many of us are accustomed to travel. Your custom and border patrol folks are telling you where they see kind of leaky arteries, they worry will be the first line of access.
Several years ago, we funded a project with the University of Minnesota looking at where some of our biggest threats were. And that was... since it was introduced into China, but has not been reassessed since it's made its way into the island Hispaniola. But at that time, they looked at which airports created the greatest risk from where the flights were originating from, and from those countries. And it makes sense, right? Yeah. The countries that have African swine fever, foot and mouth disease, people coming from those countries and whichever flights that those go through certain airports, those would be where the greatest risk would
be. Yeah, it's pretty incredible, especially when you look at them in the United States. Now, let's talk about this globally. Has anybody come up with good answers? I know at one time producers were exceptionally, had trepidation about their feed sources. It was about movement of product. Everybody had a theory about how African swine fever was moving around. Anybody in the impacted areas been able to come up with some answers for us, Doctor? Or are we still babes in the wood walking as far as trying to find knowledge?
We funded a project a few years ago that looked at, do we know all the risks out there? Have we identified all of them? And, you know, because a few years ago, without the research that so many people have been working on in the area of feed, it wasn't on our radar. And so this project, the report showed us that at this point they feel we've identified the areas of risk. We just need to keep focusing on them and doing a better job of making sure that we mitigate those areas.
Okay, so we mentioned it's not just at the border. There are three different lines that we have to be aware of. Have producers sounded the warning? I mean, pork producers are not solely responsible for this biosecurity effort, but how is the pork industry doing developing systems, developing mechanisms, modes of communication to try to react quickly if something's breached?
Well, and one thing that we've done is we continue to fund more research. Looking at a vaccine, we don't currently have a vaccine approved for use in the United States, even in the event of an outbreak. So we continue to fund vaccine research. We continue to look at different disinfectants. And are they effective on different surfaces against African swine fever? So that we know there are some identified, but are there more out there that would be effective for us to use? And so we continue to fund that. We develop programs like there's the Secure Pork Supply Plan, which has a biosecurity template for producers to use to write a site-specific biosecurity plan, able to control what they can on the farm, implement what they can now, implement it over time. The more they can implement prior to an outbreak, the more it'll help them against endemic diseases and keeping those diseases off their farm.
You know, Doctor, this is fantastic information, especially if I'm a pork producer that's aware of this. Let's take it a little bit farther. In 2022, it was African swine fever, it was avian influenza. Suddenly consumers are being confronted with more information than ever about the fragile food system that we all work in. What do other areas of animal agriculture have that can be shared? What do consumers need to understand about the vigilance today's animal agriculture is having just on making sure that they can get product?
many times when we develop our communication streams, we work with the other members of the barnyard. Yep. And it's very important, especially when we talk about FMD, where other species, cattle, sheep, goats, so on, are also affected. So it's very important that we develop those communication lines all together and are sharing that unified voice. And then also at the Pork Board, we develop consumer communications, and we test those. So if this is the consumer messaging that we have, we do test those to understand if it's the right communication tool to the consumers to help make sure that they understand in these situations that it is not a human health concern, if we need to react to one of these diseases, that they see that our the actions that we take are trying to prevent spread to protect other animals.
Dr. Pam Zabel, she's a veterinarian by training. She's also the director of the Swine Health and Production Team at the National Pork Producers Council, again, focused in specifically on African swine fever. She said there are a lot of groups collaborating on the next move, the Secure Pork Plan going forward. It's not just about veterinarians or pork producers. She said there's also a larger area of USDA that's continuing to be involved in this conversation. And let's not forget about Border Patrol. They're really the front line of trying to keep African swine fever out of the United States. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Create the floors you love this season with DIY and budget-friendly flooring from Wiseway. With Wiseway Flooring's direction, you'll only need to be moderately handy to accomplish brand new floors.
I'm Mike Yenser at Wiseway Flooring, inviting you to visit our showroom in Watertown, Lake Mills, and Econimwalk.
See how our do-it-yourself products might be the right thing for you.
Commercial or residential, the wise have it. Log on to ineedflooringnow.com.
Are you suffering from hair loss, bald spots, receding hairlines? There's a new solution for men and women that uses regenerative medicine to stimulate hair follicles and give you thicker, fuller hair with no surgery. This remarkable treatment is now available here from the regenerative specialists at QC Kinetics. That's right. The same protocols that help relieve joint pain can be used to give new life to dormant hair follicles. QC Kinetics medical professionals can use growth factors from your own body, concentrated and applied to your scalp, restoring hair follicles, preventing further loss, and increasing hair growth. Imagine thicker, fuller hair with no expensive surgery and no downtime. So if you're losing your hair due to aging, pattern baldness, or a medical condition, call now to learn more about exciting natural biologic treatments, regenerative medicine that can stimulate those dormant hair follicles. Get your hair growing naturally again. Call QC Kinetics now for a free consultation.
Call QC Kinetics, 608-319-1750. That's 608-319-1750. 608-319-1750.
Sprucing up your office space can be pretty darn simple with Office Furniture Warehouse of Madison. We design it, we install it, and we even give you a 5% referral discount. Better yet, we take care of the old stuff for you. You deserve a new look. Impressive office furniture with warehouse pricing makes Office Furniture Warehouse America's go-to office furniture store.
Visit ofwgomadison.com or stop by the showroom on Ronald Reagan Avenue on the north side.
From her mouth to the field's ears, this is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
All righty, on this first full day of spring, let's find out how it's going to treat us. Our man, Stumach Ag Meteorologist, joining us this morning. Happy National Agriculture Day, buddy. First full day of spring. I'm kind of curious. I'm really happy that the temperatures are starting to warm up a little bit, but I'm wondering about the rain that's going to be moving in. Looks like Thursday is now projected to be kind of the best possibility. How much are we thinking?
Well, I don't know that it's going to be a major event for us, Pam. You know, rain, maybe a few snowflakes mixing in with it late Wednesday night into Thursday. A couple of waves coming here, but a slushy little slop. La Crosse and Mauston, you know, enough to cover maybe a half inch or so. I don't expect to see anything more than that anywhere else, so not a whole lot. If it were all total rainfall, we could talk of a couple of tenths of an inch with a couple of chances. And it starts this morning with low pressure trying to build in from the west. That front that was off in northwest Wisconsin yesterday, now on the far southern edge of the state, extending southwest from Iowa down into Nebraska. Radar indicating that there's some snow in the western Dakotas, Montana, Wyoming, western Nebraska as well. Rain down in Kansas, Missouri, southern Illinois. What will happen? Some mild and moist air is building in here, and that front is going to hold just to our south. That's why quite late tonight, as the low pressure system moves along that boundary, there may be a little light rain almost anywhere. It lasts into early tomorrow. Like I've said, maybe up to a tenth of an inch here or there, but not much more than that. It does mean more mild air. Temperatures warming ahead of all of this, so a bit more mild today. Yesterday, we still stayed, on that okay side in the very upper 40s, 50 officially at La Crosse. That's just a little bit above normal, but nothing spectacular. We'll be a little more mild today. And then some of that rain overnight lasts into Wednesday. We stay quite mild. Low pressure from the west, a system affecting the west coast, will strengthen and move into the central U.S. with a little more power. It could mean some more rain chances Wednesday night into the day Thursday. But that rain then mixes with, changes over to snow late Wednesday night into the day Thursday, not accumulating, little or no snow accumulating, if you will. A slushy half to an inch, maybe. And that system pulls on out. Temperatures do cool a bit toward Thursday and Friday. In fact, even a little cooler than normal. Nothing too drastic there. Looking on toward the weekend early next week, back into those upper 40s and maybe back to near 50. But there could be a little rain chance around later in the weekend, later Sunday on toward Monday, some rain or snow again, kind of like we may see Wednesday into Wednesday night. That could return again Sunday night or into early Monday. So nothing too unusual, kind of a typical Mother Nature trying to shake off winter and trying to get spring established. And we get a little mixed precipitation every now and again, still at least building up a little moisture. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For over 60 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for March 28th through the 30th at the EAA Grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit WisconsinPublicService.com.
My name is Cameron Olson, owner of Olson Solar Energy.
This is the direction that the world is going. I know our customers really have to look at the bottom dollar. This needs to financially make sense, but this is one of those rare things that really, it's not just nice for your wallet, but it's also nice for the planet and for the earth. And it's pretty fun to be part of it.
Go to OlsonSolarEnergy.com and start saving. Go green, save green with Olson Solar Energy.
All right, buddy, tell me more about this weather forecast.
Well, a pretty okay day today, but mostly cloudy, which isn't all bad. And I expect for most of us, we'll be up around 50 or just in the low 50s. Very pleasant with the southeast winds at 5 to 10. Mostly cloudy. And in the night, some light rain developing late night, toward midnight or later. And look for lows only in the upper 30s. Not all that cool. South winds 5 to 15. Wednesday, that rain chance early, still a mostly cloudy day. Again, low 50s, 52, 53, even a bit warmer at La Crosse. Southwest winds about 5 to 10. Late Wednesday night, rain mixing with or changing to a little snow. The rain-snow mix slopping us into Thursday morning. Still cloudy, of course, Thursday with the high only in the lower 40s. We cool off. North winds about 5 to 15. Mid-40s, I'd say Friday with some sun, Pam. Not a bad way to wrap up the week, but that is just a little cooler than normal here in early spring.
Oh, really? I thought that would have been right on. Are we supposed to be, what, well into the 50s?
No, we should be in the very upper 40s. I've got right now at least 46 at Madison, 48 at La Crosse for a normal high. So
okay. Well, we're in there.
That does go up now.
Yeah, we're in there. Okay. Good enough, buddy. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
All right. See you then.
Stu Muck is our ag meteorologist bringing you your National Ag Day weather forecast. And I see that some of you folks are already getting the jump on making sure to report your rainfall information. Don't forget that talk text line is how we do that. 877-301-FARM. 877-301-3276. You can go ahead and call that or text that number and it'll go directly to me. So even if it's not about rainfall, maybe you've got a question about an event, maybe you want to remind me about something or tell me about something happening in your community, that's fine. Go ahead. 877-301-FARM. 877-301-3276. 3276. And don't forget, we're also continuing to encourage you to become a citizen scientist and help the National Weather Service with the accuracy on their forecast by becoming an official rainfall reporter for them. You can find the details out, real simple to do, WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org. Spell it all out, WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org, and become a part of the citizen science group that provides the National Weather Service with accurate information about rainfall received. Or maybe this year it'll be about rainfall not received, right?
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your construction project doesn't need to be any harder than it has to be. Sunbelt Rentals in Sun Prairie has all the equipment you'll ever need to meet your contract deadlines. Forklifts, earth-moving equipment, generators, pumps, air compressors, concrete equipment, and everything else to make the job run smooth. Don't make it harder than it has to be. Rent the equipment you need. Visit SunbeltRentals.com. Now hiring drivers, competitive hourly rates, and overtime. SunbeltRentals.com.
That squeal you're hearing while you come to a stop, that's your brakes crying for help. At Tom's Auto Center, we offer 5-star brake repair on all makes and models. Stop by for a brake fluid and brake inspection. If your brakes are talking to you or screaming for help, we'll diagnose it and give you a written estimate.
We want you to be able to trust your brakes.
Tom's Auto Center, we're the getter fixed, getter done to get you going, guys.
Off Highway 51 in McFarland, a stone's throw from McDonald's.
You're no stranger to hard work and eating right, but your abs are more like flabs. Carbon World Health offers Emsculpt, an FDA-approved treatment for men who want to transform their physique. One session is equivalent to 20,000 crunches without the painful recovery. Melt fat, build and tone muscle, then start getting the results you're looking for. Emsculpt at Carbon World Health. Learn more at carbonworldhealth.com.
Pest control? You've got a guy for that. Car repairs? You probably have a guy for that as well. For someone to custom design a unique piece of jewelry for you, or help your current pieces look sparkling fresh, that needs to be William Thomas Custom Jewelry. Affordable and local. William Thomas Custom Jewelry will help you create a desirable, one-of-a-kind piece that you'll be proud to wear for years to come.
William Thomas Custom Jewelry. Your inspiration, your custom jeweler.
How is it that we can have smoker's lines without ever smoking?
A skincare minute with skincare expert Michelle Neeson.
Smokers or lip lines can occur not only because of smoking, but other factors, such as talking, drinking from a straw, genetics, and age-related fat loss. The most simple and effective treatment for this problem is a combination of dermal fillers such as Juvederm, which can smooth and fill those fine lines as well as hydrate the lips. Also, a neuromodulator such as Botox can be used in small amounts to relax those pursing muscles. At Rejuvenation Clinic of Sauk Prairie, this treatment results in a natural, more youthful appearance of the mouth and often lasts a year or longer.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
Visit us at rejuvenationclinicofsaukprairie.com.
They say yes to 7 straight days. A traveling dress rehearsal for you to get comfortable in the seat and feel the power behind the smartest purchase you've ever made. The 7-day, no questions asked return policy, if you need it, at Bergstrom Automotive. Join the Bergstrom Automotive family for the yes.
You're worth so much more. Have you ever had the choice to accumulate wealth or go into debt? Let's play Would You Rather. Would you rather have $190,000 in total compensation or be $29,000 in debt? That's the choice between paying for a bachelor's degree that might not even land you a job or an apprenticeship with LIUNA that will lead to job security, a pension, stability, and a lifetime of great wages. You're worth so much more. Go to LIUNAWisconsin.org/join to learn how to accumulate wealth instead of debt.
Tom Spitz
and David Fink of Settlers Bank. We make it easy to access the bankers you know
Bankers who listen to your goals
then offer expert advice and solutions that simplify even the most complex financial matters.
Virtually or in person, we're here when you need us. To learn more, stop by or visit SettlersWI.com.
Settlers Bank, timely decisions, people you know.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Start the show off right here. A big national championship. Is it a women's hockey school and women's volleyball school? You're damn straight. Wisconsin women's hockey getting it done. 7 national championships. Absolutely incredible as they barely eke into the tournament and beat the 1, the 2, and the 3 seed respectively to take home the natty title. Rowdy, good morning. It feels good to talk about a habitual winner.
Woo! Yeah, good morning. Did you watch the game at all? It was on ESPNU.
I watched highlights of the game.
I actually caught probably half of the last period.
How was it? I mean, they're up 1-0 in the last period. They got to hang on. How was it?
Yeah, and they were up 1-0 earlier in the game, so it was just a lot of just
hanging on,
puck going back and forth.
Yeah, well, they scored in the first period, and then they had to just kind of play a lot of defense. What'd you think watching that third period, Rowdy? Were you at the edge of your seat?
I was flicking back and forth between the Frozen Four, March Madness. I mean, I was all over.
Let's see here. Were Badgers already done playing for NIT? Yeah, because they were at 11. Badgers done already in NIT. It was a hell of a day for some sports yesterday. But, yeah, the women's hockey team, 7-time national championship. Absolutely incredible. Here is the final.
Her head already.
Oh, and, of course, the internet wants to.
It's over. National championship for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Incredible, man. Bucky, I mean, you tweeted it out too, Rowdy, and I kind of alluded to it and said it already. But again, remind the folks what this Lady Badgers had to do to just even, you know, barely get into the tournament and then what they did.
Yeah, they barely made the NCAA tournament. And then once they make the NCAA tournament, they beat the number 3, the number 2, and the number 1 team in the country 3 consecutive games to win that national title.
Crazy. And, you know, I mean, Minnesota, their big-time rival, they beat in the semifinals. And then, obviously, Ohio State, who was the boogeyman, the boogeywoman, to come in. And Badgers said, no, we're going to do it. We're going to shut you down and get it done. The Badgers have now won 3 of the last 4 NCAA titles, and their 7th overall allowed them to pass Minnesota for the most in NCAA history. Absolutely incredible. All of which have come with Mark Johnson on the bench leading the Lady Badgers. Mark Johnson, that dude is a habitual winner. That guy rocks. Very emotional speech after the game as well. As he said, the first thing he was going to do is take the trophy and go hang out with his mother, who wasn't doing the greatest health-wise. So really emotional all around for Mark Johnson and his team. The Wisconsin women's hockey Badgers team, incredible.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Johnson has been there, the head coach of the program, for 18 years, and they have 7 national titles.
Crazy. The dude is, again, a habitual winner. And then we'll get to March Madness, but first, there's a bunch of teams that aren't playing anymore. One of those teams is still playing that we root for. Let's see here. I love Zach Heilprin's tweet that he has as the Badgers will play deeper into March than Duke, Iowa, Michigan, and now Purdue as well, and now the Marquette Golden Eagles. Wisconsin, big win over Liberty. Steven Crowell setting the tone, shoving dudes to the freaking court. You got Chucky Hepburn, a career high. You got friggin' Max Klesmic. And Carter Gilmore, rowdy. Some dirty minutes for Carter Gilmore. And the Badgers just getting it done over to Liberty. Again, you were watching some NIT, rowdy. It was a very inspiring game. It was an entertaining game, to say the least, was it not?
The biggest thing I was looking for yesterday afternoon or morning was what was the attendance going to be, since there was only about...
almost 4,000.
Yeah, I think it was 3,900 game one, where it was a Tuesday night.
8 p.m. 8. During spring break.
Not great timing.
No.
So I figured it would be more, but remember I had a little bet with Rob Reichel that it would get to 10,000.
And it went over 10,000.
And it was over 10,000.
So 10 and a half.
And you could actually hear people yelling stuff. People got up.
This was, and we'll get into this today. The Kohl Center was the biggest buzz that I had seen it.
Roses are red, violets are blue, and you bet she'll be talking farming with you. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, it looks like we're getting those rain showers this week that should bring about some color and some flowers. Today, overcast skies, 30% chance of rain, 50 degrees. Tomorrow, 30% chance of rain and 52. Thursday, a 50% chance of rain and 44 degrees. Glad you're along with us. It's National Agriculture Day. Talking more about that with Stephanie Hoff in just a moment. How one technical college is trying to get people to focus in on the opportunities that Wisconsin agriculture can present them. Stick around for that. So like I said, today is the 21st day of March. It is also considered Earth Day. Back in 1970, Earth Day celebrated for the very first time. It was kind of limited as far as its appeal in the United States, but it caught on. It is observed today by about a billion people around the world. Earth Day, as well as National Agriculture Day. On this day in 2006, Twitter began sending messages. They estimate that every day more than 340 million tweets are being posted every day. Started on this day back in 2006. Happy birthday to Ferris Bueller, Matthew Broderick, 61 years young today. Comedian, actress Rosie O'Donnell, she also is 61 years young today. And now you know. Well, like I said, we want to make sure that you're focused in on National Agriculture Day today. It's always celebrated the first full day of spring. Today, down in Monroe, one technical college campus is inviting in the general public to find out more about what agriculture can do for them, not just as far as putting food on the table, but also as far as well-paying jobs and great career advancement. Stephanie Hoff has more.
Happy National Agriculture Day. I'm Stephanie Hoff with the Midwest Farm Report. The Wisconsin Technical College System will be celebrating National Egg Day on March 23rd at the Black Hawk Technical College's Monroe campus. The agriculture program at Black Hawk is fairly new, but don't let that fool you. While it is a less established program, they've got technology that no other college in Wisconsin can claim, including a spray drone and a tractor simulator. Dustin Hoffman is the agribusiness and farm management instructor at Black Hawk. He says ag technology has played a big role in attracting students to the industry.
We're very fortunate that we made some good decisions along the last couple of years here through some grants through the WTCS system and also with Compeer and some others. We've been able to purchase some things that other colleges don't have. So for example, the spray drone, and a fleet of five other drones that we've taken out, and students have been able to learn how to fly, learn how to capture imagery and pull into the Sentara software that we have. And this spring we'll be taking out the spray drone as well. So there's a lot of really cool things that we can do with that. Not only just spraying and learning how to do that, but it also has a spinner spreader on it. So you can apply cover crops to growing crops. So like your cornfield that hasn't been harvested yet, you can go out there and spread your cover crop on without worrying about it being too late in the season. You can put it on when it needs to go on, those types of things. You can even spread fertilizer if you wanted to, or salt on the parking lot, or whatever. One of the other things that we have here at the college that very few other colleges have even an opportunity to use is the commercial applicator simulator. We purchased one a few years ago here, so our students have full access to that. Those were built by Growmark a few years ago and built as trainers for their employees in the FS system. And so there's about 7 or 8 different modules that students work through, and they're able to learn how to, you know, drive on the road, drive in the field, to row crop, to spray on flat fields, spray on fields that have ditches and creek banks and all kinds of different things. So it's a great opportunity for our students to get some hands-on experience before they ever get inside of a $500,000 piece of equipment.
So you talked about some of the assets of the spray drone, but I also wanted you to remind us again or help us understand that it's actually a pretty smart machine.
It really is. I mean, the technology that has evolved through drone technology just within the last 3 or 4 years is just incredible. You know, a lot of times people are very afraid of that because they're like, oh, I have to fly that thing. Well, realistically, 95% of the time it flies itself. The only time that you might have to manually fly it is if you need to pull it down out of the sky because, you know, there's some sort of weather event coming, or there's, you know, there's other air traffic that you need to avoid or yield to. Otherwise, it's all program, right? You map a boundary for the field. You put in a prescription as far as the rate that you want to spray. You send it up and it does its job. When it gets close to running out, or if it knows it's going to run out before the end of the field, it will automatically come back and land by itself where it took off, because it knows it's going to run out and it wants to save time. So you load it, push a button, it takes off by itself, goes right back where you left off or where it left off, and it continues spraying at the same rate it did before until it runs out again and the same thing happens. So it's a matter of just pushing a button in a lot of ways, and just making sure that everything is working appropriately.
Looking ahead, anything new coming in the agri-technology space?
Boy, I don't know. It's been kind of a whirlwind the last 4 or 5 years here. So we're going to try to keep up with what we have and really try to focus on recruiting students and getting them what they need and applying what we have to our curriculum and using it to its full capacity. There's always opportunities, and I'm always on the lookout for those opportunities to be able to provide new things. But I think expanding what we have and utilizing the technology we have better is really where we're going to focus the next year or two.
How is, like, the student pool and interest in agriculture? I mean, what are some of the trends you're seeing from incoming students?
Well, the ag industry could always use more people. There's more jobs than we have people, and those that are interested in those jobs. So, and all the colleges, I think, are in the same boat, that they could always use more students in agriculture to meet the needs of the industry. Because, I mean, we have people calling here and stopping here every day saying, hey, I need an intern, or hey, I need a full-time person, and we just can't fill those jobs. That's the reality. So, you know, part of the conversation that we're going to have at our National Ag Day event is, you know, how do we continue to recruit and retain the next generation of agricultural employees? I think that's a really tough question to answer. Number one, we just have less farms and less farm kids coming out from high school. And if they are, they're going back to the farm. And a lot of times those agribusiness companies would hire farm kids in the past, or they hired retired farmers, and let's just face it, there's not a large pool of retired farmers and not a large pool of farm kids anymore to go work in those industries. So we find that there's a lot of students that are not from farms that are coming into the ag industry, and we fully embrace that, and that's the biggest reason for all the simulators that you see.
Tractor simulators, state-of-the-art equipment, live cow birth simulators, and a new greenhouse are several assets that the Black Hawk Technical College will be showing off at their National Egg Day celebration on Thursday, March 23rd. Instructor Dustin Hoffman says you can also look forward to agribusiness tours and an industry panel that will be talking about how to bring more students into the agriculture workforce. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Hi, this is Jacqueline Anderson from the National Weather Service, and we need your help. Every day, precipitation reports are sent in through a group called COCO-ROS. By telling us how much rain, snow, or sleet you got, you give us ground truth to what the conditions are like out there. Current conditions are the foundation to every forecast and help supplement our radar precipitation estimates. Observers like you give us the most accurate information, which helps make our forecast better. It's easy to join and only takes about 2 minutes a day.
Thanks, Jackie. That's right. Less than 2 minutes a day to become a part of the National Weather Service Rainfall Reporting Network. It helps them do a better job forecasting for you. Find all the details and get signed up today. WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org. Spell it all out. Wisconsin Weather Watchers, and join forces with the National Weather Service in Wisconsin. John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is joining us live in just a moment. You know, you're going to start to see increased traffic on rural roadways just as soon as the weather cooperates. A lot of our dairy operations doing the spring cleanup and emptying their manure storage facilities. That means it's a busy time for a lot of our Wisconsin custom operators that are hired to haul and spread that manure. One of those, Isaac Lemoness. He's an OEM product specialist at R. Braun Incorporated, and he says every year it seems like they've got more and more manure to move.
The demand is greater than it ever has been. Here locally, here in Manitowoc County, we just have had another custom operator, custom manure pumper, who consigned all his equipment on an auction, so we lost another custom harvester and pumper. So is there enough custom operators to meet the demand? Today, maybe. Tomorrow, in terms of later this year, next year, I foresee this being a huge issue in the future. In reality, today it is also.
Isaac Lemoness, he's one of our custom operators partnering up with our dairy producers to get that manure moved. He said this year they're estimating they'll pump about 275 to 280 million gallons of manure, about the same as they did last year. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning are a little on the chilly side. Right now, we've got December corn up just a penny at 560. November soybeans are down three at 1306. July wheat down a penny, 707. Yesterday in Chicago, barrel cheese dropped 0.75 cents to 195 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese down 0.75 cents at 199. And AA butter, well, that went up a penny at 241 a pound. April milk down 2 cents right now at $19. May milk, 35 cents lower on the close yesterday, settled at 1851 a hundredweight. Speaking of milk, the February milk production figures are in, and it looks like Wisconsin saw a little bit of an increase in overall milk production, 2.45 billion pounds, up just a bit compared to a year ago. Again, average number of milk cows, 1.27 million head, unchanged from last month, but 3,000 fewer cows than a year ago. Average cow production up 10 pounds compared to a year ago. All right, coming up next, whether it's dairy, whether it's livestock, whether it's grain, John Heinberg can talk about it. And this Black Swan event with banks, how is that influencing our markets? He'll bring us all the details coming up.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau leadership opportunities have benefited me in multiple ways. Right now, I'm a member of the Farm Bureau Leadership Institute, and I always thought I was a good public speaker. And then we went through some of that training in our very first session, and I had these aha moments that I'm going to use when I am promoting agriculture to consumer groups.
WFBF.com.
You should reach out to them.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture. Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Is your biggest fear of having dermal filler in the face looking overdone? You are not alone.
A skincare minute with skincare expert Michelle Neeson.
Dermal filler treatments at Rejuvenation Clinic of Sauk Prairie restore fullness and fill in wrinkles in areas of the face, such as the cheeks, under eyes, lips, and around the mouth. It's very difficult to look overdone with non-surgical dermal fillers due to the amount that's typically injected. Did you know that one syringe of filler equals 1/5 of a teaspoon? One fast food ketchup packet is equivalent to 8 syringes. As long as your treatment is performed by a skilled medical professional, you should have the natural-looking results you desire.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
Visit us at rejuvenationclinicofsaukprairie.com.
You know who tells a great story? Our Tom's Auto Center customers, like Blake, who recently gave us a 5-star review. It reads, "I appreciated the emailed estimate and text message communication about the repairs." Thanks, Blake. Schedule your appointment, tomsautocenter.com.
We'll make sure you get 5-star service.
Tom's Auto Center, we're the getter fixed, getter done together.
Off Highway 51 in McFarland, a stone's throw from McDonald's.
From farm to fork and everything in between, we cover it all. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Always a lot to cover when we catch up with our friend John Heimberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. And boy, this week is not lacking news, that's for sure. Let's start off with the black swan event, John. Something everybody's talking about. We think that it's only impacting like the Silicon Valley and some of that. But boy, this has trickled around the globe now, and it does impact agriculture.
It does, from the standpoint of just that uncertainty regarding the economic situation and money flow in terms of these markets. I mean, obviously, we've seen the hard drop in the equity markets, now maybe finding some footing here as, you know, we're getting closer to the Fed meeting this week. But the impact on crude oil, that spilled over into just a risk-off mentality that really has these markets kind of all over the map right now. It's kind of hard to gauge where things are going in terms of, you know, which ones, where's the money flowing to, flowing from. You know, we've seen the corn market get some stability. Beans continue to be under pressure. Livestock sector has just been getting kind of beat up lately as well, especially the hog market. You know, so we're just seeing a lot of different reactions here as they're taking some risk out of the marketplace or moving money to the sidelines as well as, you know, just to protect themselves in case things get worse.
Well, and that's the thing. If things get worse, there's a lot of safety nets been tossed out there to try to catch things. Is there any sector of agriculture that maybe is a little bit more vulnerable to this kind of erratic pattern, John?
I would watch those markets. I've got a lot of money put into them. Soybean market, the funds have still got a lot of length. The cattle market, they got a lot of length. In other words, it's an area they could just say, you know, we're good. Let's pull our money to the pull the money out of the market, and we can see things come down. It's not about fundamentals here. It's about technicals. It's about, you know, just where the momentum trades are at times. And those, again, those are markets that are kind of hard to gauge because in the snap of a fingers, we can go one way or another very, very aggressively just because of the way the money wants to move from in and out of the marketplace. I think some of the weakness we saw in some of those markets yesterday came because the stock market was rallying back on some, maybe the prospects the Fed doesn't raise interest rates this week. So We'll see. It's just going to be a very volatile time, and it's a time that's just kind of hard to gauge, again, like I said before, where everything's going to go. And again, because it's not based off fundamentals, it's based off money flow.
Right. Now, speaking of money flow, we saw China flow into the marketplace. A little bit of a surprise. What's going on there?
Yeah, we got that export demand that we've been kind of hoping for, at least on the corn side, in terms of the Chinese stepping into the market. They picked up 83 million bushels last week, which was a lot of very nice purchases. Probably put a little bit of at least a short-term bottom in the corn market on the old crop side here, as we've now got some competition on the demand front. You know, obviously, the supplies are still relatively tight. We still got feed issues here in the United States from east to west, and then we throw in a major purchaser of that nature. You know, we'll have to see if that continues. There's rumors that they wanted to pick up another batch very similar to that. The talk was they're looking for up to 4 million metric tons of corn here, as they just need supplies in terms of corn for just feed purposes or whatever they need it for in terms of their usage. So we'll have to watch. If we get another round like that again, we may have to see if the USDA maybe undershot that export demand number here. It may have to actually raise it back up again, and that would help out that carryout picture a little bit.
You know, and I don't want to toss this wild card in, but I mean, the president of China meeting in Russia makes you wonder if they're trying to secure supplies in case the United States would use something like grain in retaliatory measures down the road.
That is something that's a concern to me as well, as you just kind of look at the whole geopolitical situation, their connection to Brazil and their connection to Argentina or Australia for bringing supplies in. And, you know, are they securing enough supplies that if something were to happen on that global scale that, you know, they don't need us at all? I mean, actually, to this point, it's felt like they've been trying to do things without using U.S. grains as much as possible, especially corn. So that's still always just one of those, you know, black swan event that's out there that's got me concerned in the marketplace, just this whole geopolitical situation that's still kind of brewing against the United States and, again, in terms of these global situations.
What's happening with energy, John? That also seems to tie in with this theme.
Yeah, the crude oil market's just gotten bludgeoned here with this move, and now at least we're finding some footing here the last couple of days, so maybe we've turned this thing back around. But that became one of those risk-off assets. You know, when markets start tumbling, especially in the equity markets, you know, they are just like our regular people, too, in terms of they got margin calls, they've got to meet those numbers. That's why you see the forced liquidation. Crude oil was a market there was a lot of length in because of the anticipation of prices going higher, and some people just got caught on the eight ball, and it fell apart again. Again, on the technical side, maybe not fundamentally correct, but technically the market was just looking to move money out. So now we'll see if we can find some footing in general here, but it may have been an opportunity, at least maybe if some prices came down for producers, to look at some of those spring supplies.
John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, along with us. Call him, 800-334-9779. Their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. And what's your email again, John?
That's John H. at TotalFarmMarketing.com.
All right, buddy. Doesn't look like we're going to run out of things to talk about. We'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
Excellent. John Heinberg, again, giving you a little heads up on what's going on in the marketplace in the overnight hours and for the foreseeable future. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Enjoy National Agriculture. Rain gear? Can't live without it. It keeps you dry, makes those soggy chores much more manageable. Blaine's Farm and Fleet's got you covered from head to toe, literally, with great prices on rain pants, jackets, boots, and more. Shop in-store or online at farmandfleet.com.